Okay, it is recording. It is great to be here, guys. It's good to see everyone. It is a beautiful day, and can you imagine that it's going to be about 40 degrees warmer today than it has been? Is that good or what? Okay, I'm kind of tired of the cold weather. It is not any fun. But you know what? Even in the midst of the cold, it's great to come together. You know, I really enjoy my family, and I love each of you dearly, and it's good to be able to come together, both at times of worship and Bible study, and throughout the week, and it is just wonderful. One of the announcements that I did not make, and a lot of times, you know, we start with a lot of announcements and prayers and Bible class, and then things spill over, and then I don't get them on the announcements. Robin has lost her sister this past week, and so that's a big loss for them. And so we need to be praying about her and the family at this time. So I want you to keep that in mind. I apologize. It doesn't matter how much thought I put into announcements. I always miss something, it seems. The topic for today is coming from a question that was put in the suggestion box. And so, actually, I've been thinking about this for a long time. It's been there for probably 2 months. So I don't know if any of you have put this on or if it's somebody that's not here today. But the question that was put in the suggestion box for a lesson was the importance of the steps leading up to salvation. Now, I've put a lot of thought, and a lot of these things that are put in there for suggestions, I really struggle with how to approach them. And so that's hence part of the reason that it's taken me so long to come back and to actually put this together. And it's been on my mind for a long time. And of course, as we look at this lesson today, you know, I come from a passage in Matthew chapter 7 that, guys, to me it says volumes about every single thing in life. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And so as we look at this passage, I believe that this is something that has not just to do with spiritual things, but every single thing in your life. You know, we usually don't get a job unless we go out and look for it, right? You know, we usually don't get groceries until we go to the grocery store and start seeking for the groceries. We don't find a mate until we find somebody. If we go out and look, you know. We don't find things. We don't access things until we actually ask, seek, and knock. And so as we look at that, the importance of the steps dealing with salvation, we need to understand that it takes effort on our part. It's not just something that happens. And so, as we look at this subject, you know, we need to understand that whatever we want in life, we're going to have to put some effort into it. I don't care what it is. Is that free stuff? Is that really worthwhile? Do you get those calls about you've been chosen to get this free cruise? Yeah. Have you ever really found out how much those free cruises cost you? You know, the free stuff, now, in actuality, you know, the salvation is a free gift of God. But then we got to look at what that free gift costs. Because it cost Jesus his life on the cross. Okay? It also, recognizing that there was cost to him, it's not something that we can purchase, but it is something that we have to seek, and we have to look at what God says. Okay, God says you want it. Okay, this is what you do. And so as we look at this, I want to study that today and try to understand a little bit about the importance of the steps. And then this afternoon, we'll be looking more at the things that the Bible said. See, Jesus said to seek. And can you imagine how boring life would be if we didn't have to go out and figure something out? You know, I've been, in the past couple years, I've been learning how to fly, and now I'm trying to get to instrument rating, and seeking for that
I have had a blast. I really had fun. But I had to go out and I had to seek. I had to work at that. And in the coffee cup that Shelley gave me for Christmas, it says, the joy is in the journey. Can you imagine how boring life would be if there was, it was all joy and there was no challenge? We wouldn't even be happy. Somebody that's really miserable is people that have everything because they don't have anything to seek. And they don't know how to find joy in the journey. And so we need to be thankful for the actually that we need to seek. And so we need to understand when it comes to salvation that Jesus didn't intend for us to just sit and wait for it to come. I want to go to a passage in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. And I want us to note what was going on in this passage because these individuals were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And there was a reason for their nobility. And it says in that passage, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, notice here that these people were noble. And they were more noble than some other people. But there was reasons for their nobility. It says that these individuals, they received the word with all readiness, number one. Sometimes the Bible's kind of hard to take. Because it's kind of an in-your-face deal. And that's because we're human beings. And we have a tendency to not want to do the right thing. It's kind of like the proverb says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Okay? We're just children to God. Okay? And so there's a lot of things that God tells us to do that we don't like it. I want it my way. Right? Well, it's not Burger King. These people showed us that it's not Burger King. They received with all readiness the word. And then not only that, but they also searched diligently to make sure that the things that they were seeing were true. Well, guys, I think we need to understand that for us to really appreciate the things that we have, we need to put effort into it. And these people did, and it changed their lives. As we go down and look at the things that transpired with these people, they were serious about it. They recognized that the good life was in Christ Jesus and following His commands. I tell you what, you know, I look at people every day and I see the challenges and their lack of desire to follow what God says, and I see the misery in their life, and I'm saying, you know, don't you want something better? But they don't seem to understand that which is really good. You know, some people use this wait and see method for finding salvation today. You know, I think we need to understand that this passage is telling us that there's something that we're going to have to put some effort into. And so this idea of just wait and see is not going to work it. They wait for somebody to tell them to do something. Now that's kind of nice to not have to make any decisions, isn't it? And just somebody say, okay, you do this and you do this and you do this. Well, I don't like that. Especially when Dorothy tells me that she would like for me to take the trash out. But I zip it. Okay? Because it's probably my job. I don't really like to be told what to do. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people take that for salvation in their spiritual life. They just wait for somebody to tell them. How do you know they're telling you what's right? You don't. Unless you do like these Bereans did and then you search. You know, some people wait like Cornelius did for a vision. And I don't know that Cornelius was waiting on that. But in Acts chapter 10, we have a man. He was a good man. Okay? And what's neat was this was the time and the age of miracles where angels would speak to people and people that were blind were just instantly able to see. Now, we've got great things that happen today. Okay? They're not the New Testament miracles, but they're wonderful things. You know, there's healing. You know, there's the great things that God gives us in life. There's the things that happen. It's amazing how good God is. But this man, Cornelius, lived in a time where he was trying to do the right thing. And because of the miraculous events of that time, God sent an angel. Said, go send for Simon the Tanner. Or Peter, he's at Simon the Tanner's house. And so he sent and he found him. And he came and he told him what he needed to do. You know, it's kind of interesting, as you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, we see that this particular type of thing doesn't happen today, so we need to be like the Bereans. But it says in 1 Corinthians 13, 8, charity or love doesn't fail. Okay? It says, but whether they be prophecies, they're going to fail or they're going to cease. Whether they be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. And so it was talking about a period of time in which Cornelius lived where they had these miraculous interventions. You and I are just going to have to study our Bible. Okay? We're going to have to get in there and look and see, and we can't just wait for somebody to bring it to us. And then there's the people that, you know, the time is just never right. You know, I'm so busy today. I've got so many things going on. And you know, God's always on the back burner. And I'm going to give God some of my time tomorrow. And yeah, I'll seek God when and look for salvation when I get old. And that's what was going on in this particular verse in Acts chapter 25 and or 24 and verse 25. And he says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Now, what's kind of interesting, they were looking at scriptures together and it scared him. But notice the problem was the result. He says, he answered and he said, go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Many people are waiting until it's convenient. Convenient season never comes. For some, their life ends before they ever get around to it. Many people just put it off and put it off and say, I got too many fun things to do. I got this and I got that. And I'm thinking, fun things? I'm having the time of my life living for God. And I don't wake up with regrets. I have more fun than probably anyone should have. Living for God. Following Him. Wait for a convenient season? That's Satan trying to keep us from ever doing what is right. You know, there's a lot of people that they're not even looking. And I think that's a big problem that we have today. People, I mean, they're not even worried about it because they just assume that they're just right. You know, it's kind of a pacifist fight type feeling. You know, everything's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. As long as we don't disagree and get around one another in a disagreeable way, everything's okay. We're gonna be fine. But go to a passage in Proverbs chapter 14. Because this passage tells us that, you know what? Assuming that I'm okay without having the knowledge to back it up is not a real good thing. Because it says in that passage, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now that's pretty scary. Guys, that's why in the New Testament, when they came together to worship, they spent a lot of time in study of God's Word. That's why in Acts chapter 2, they were getting together every day to study the Bible because they wanted to know what God had to say to them and what their life was supposed to be. They didn't want to assume anything. But a lot of people today, they just want to assume and they feel good about themselves and they think everything's okay, but it might not be
if they haven't been following what God says. I want to go to John chapter 8, and I want to notice verses 31 and 32, because this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus is very clearly making laying down a principle and a truth that we need to know and understand. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, he says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Guys, the truth, which is Jesus' words, and that's the New Testament, that's what's going to free us from sin. Now, when we kind of piece that together, we can't pick and choose a little bit. We can't just say that, okay, I've got the truth. I'm holding it here, so therefore I'm free. No. Jesus said, if you continue in my word. So we've got to do the things that it says. Now, you know what? I look at the struggles of life. And I get involved in lots and lots of lives all over the place. And I see the misery and the problems in life. And you know what? Almost without exception, the most of the misery comes from a lack of obedience to what God says. Guys, it's the truth that makes you free. We need to be searching to find out what it is and look at it carefully. We need to be trying to decide what it is that we need to be doing and how we need to what we need to change in our life to be in accordance with what Jesus says. There's nothing else that matters. Now, right now we live in the flesh and we think, okay, yeah, everything else matters, okay? What I have for supper, who my friends are, and how many friends I got, and what kind of car I drive, and whether or not I have a big enough house to meet my neighbors, and my clothes, what kind of clothes do I have? Do I have the right kind of clothes? And, you know, Dorothy got up and she got herself all dressed up, and I put up my same old suit. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I had my jeans on. I think it'd be all right, too. All right. I'll change. Maybe I should. I don't know. But guys, see, the thing is, we need to be concerned about what God says. Because that's what's going to make us free. Nothing else. In fact, if we don't have it, we feel good about what we have, but it's not what God says, we've got serious trouble because the end is death. You know, and I want to go back to John or Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, because I want us to note what caused the church to grow in that first century. It says in Acts chapter 4, when these people were scattered because they were being persecuted, it says they went everywhere preaching the word. Did it say they were preaching what they felt? Did it say that they were just saying what they wanted to say? No, they was preaching the word of God. You know, it's the word of God that will help me to have life. And it's the word of God, guys, that we're going to have to go to find out what it says if we want salvation. And we can't pick and choose because every bit of it's the word of God. Every bit of it's the words of Jesus. And we've got to continue in it. And so we'll be looking at that. But you know what? Under cover of service to God, many people seek the wrong things. And this is a concern. Many people just seek for friends. You know? I want to be godly and I want to do it I just want my select group of friends. Those people that we kind of click together with. You know what I love about the Lord's church? Every single one of us is so different. And it's amazing how much fun we have together. It's amazing how we get along, and we're different people. You know? I think of Isaiah where it says the lion and the lamb will lie down together, and it's talking about the church and how here we come from different backgrounds. We have different goals and aspirations, but we still get along and we still love each other. You know, we may have different political views, but that's not Bible.
You know, we may have different ideas about what's the best kind of job or what's whatever, whether it's union, pro-union, or against union. It doesn't matter. We still love each other. And that's the way the church is supposed to be. So it's not about friends, guys. It's about God. It's about living for Him. You know, that a lot of people seek God based on their wants. One of those, and riding for Christ. You know, well, we got to be a biker to ride for Christ. One is racing for Christ, or honk if you love Jesus. You ever seen them bumper stickers? Let me tell you something. If I have to honk a horn to show you I love Jesus, there are serious problems. Find that in the Bible. And then the next one, you know, with social media, I've just quit it, okay? I'm sick to death of the social media. I don't look at it. I got so tired of this nonsense on social media. To send this email to 10 people if you love Jesus. Or return it to me and make me one. Oh, the more I thought about that, the more upset I got. Because where is that in the Bible? And, you know, God says, look, if you love me, do what I say. That's what we're supposed to do. And the things that He says, we're going to bring a much better life for us. And so we've got to keep this in mind. God is not about what we want, but what God wants. You know, in 2 John, or rather 3 John in verse 9, we had an individual in the church that, it didn't work too good for him. You know, he wasn't liking who he was running with. And, you know, social status is not a real good thing. Even though over the years, I've known many people that seek God based on social status. They want to run with friends that's got their same social status. Find that in the Bible. In 3 John in verse 9, it says, I wrote to the church but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. In other words, this man that wanted to be a boss, wanted to be have this elite social standing, he received these letters and he didn't allow anybody else to hear what it says. And Apostle John says, I'm going to deal with that when I come. And so don't seek God based on social status or social standing. Ananias and Sapphira, they were seeking God based on a lie of how much they gave to God. You know, what you give to God is between you and God. Nobody else's business. They did it for show. And so we're not to do it for social status. And then there's the aspect of getting personal gain. I want to go to Romans or Acts chapter 8. And I want to note here that Simon the sorcerer, he was a man that had a background, okay? And he was known as a sorcerer, and he was obviously making his money by bewitching people. And so when he saw that this miraculous ability came when the Apostle Paul laid their hands on people, or the other apostles, it wasn't the Apostle Paul at that time, it was Peter. But he said, what's it cost me? I want that gift. I want to be able to, whoever I lay my hand on can have that. He was out for God for money. He was thinking that this was all about money. And in verses 18 and 19, it says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered him money, saying, give me also this power that on whoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Guys, God is not about money. Now, that doesn't mean God won't bless you, because it does say that He will. You're going to have to follow what He says. There's ups and downs and there's challenges, but He does say that He's going to make sure that you have the necessities. And God's the giver of those. But guys, I tell you what, we need to put Him first in all the things that we do. And so let's not do it for personal gain. God will take care of us. But keep in mind that there's more to it than that. And that is should not be the reason. And then I want to go to Colossians chapter 2. And then I'm going to close it until this afternoon at 1, and we will finish the lesson.
after this passage. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, the church was having some problems, and their worship was getting into an area where it wasn't what God wanted, but it was what they wanted. And really, when you look at the subject of salvation today, there are so many ideas out there in the world about how do you, you know, what do you do to be saved? Okay? There are just a lot of ideas, but we've got the Bible. So the Bible should tell us, right? Okay? And so, but these people, they were trying to make their own way. They said, well, I want it this way. And so I want us to note verse 23. It says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in the honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, what he's saying there is that these people were getting into the point where they were just doing what they really wanted to do. It no longer had anything to do with what God wants. Well, but I like it this way. But God doesn't accept that. And so we need to make sure that when we come to God, if the things of salvation, that we come on His terms. Not on them. Because I got news for you. People like Nadab and Abihu came to God on their terms. It really looked close. But it wasn't God's terms, and they were rejected. And so we need to make sure that we don't come to God with our own self-directed or self-desired worship, plan of salvation, or life. And what's neat about Christianity is we can come from all walks of life and go to heaven. We can all do different things and enjoy different things, and that's good. We can all have different desires and different ambitions in life. It's just that the Bible teaches us there's certain guidelines that we have. There are certain things that we do to please Him in worship. There are certain things that we do to be able to come to Him and find that salvation. I don't want to be lost. I want to go to heaven when this life's over. This life's got too many troubles. I want something better, don't you? And this life, the older I get, the more I look around, and it was just yesterday when I was some of your guys' ages. And I'm not talking about those of you that are my age. I can't believe I'm 57 years old. And it was just yesterday my children were these age. Now, it didn't seem like that going forward, but looking back, it's gone. There's got to be something better. And I can guarantee you that the joys in this life need to be found in Christ so that there's something better that comes when this is over. Brief overview. I'm going to spend a couple minutes on what God says in the Bible that we do for salvation. Now, I didn't deal with God's part in salvation today. That's another subject because there's things that it says He does. Grace and mercy and Jesus and all of those things were His part. But our part is pretty simple. But we can't leave parts of it out because they're all there by God. He says we got to have faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We learn how to get faith in Romans 10:17. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, we've been talking about our daily Bible reading for the year. You know, read it through, because faith comes from studying. And you can't please God without it. So, read your Bible. Jesus also said, unless you repent, you all likewise perish. Now, repentance just means that, oh, I'm reading my Bible. I shouldn't be doing this. I need to be doing this. So, I change. That's simple. You know? Quite frankly, my way doesn't do me very good in the first place. Okay? It always gets me in trouble. I don't like trouble. And so if I find God says do something different, then okay, let's change.
We must confess Christ as the Son of God, as Peter did and as everybody else did. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And if he's the Son of God, you need to do what he says. Then he said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He says in Acts 2, verse 38, that that baptism must be in Christ and for the remission of sins. Pretty simple. Those are the things that God says to do to be saved. Now we'll look at them in a little bit more detail later. But then he says you're going to have to get up and live for him. Man, that'll give you the best life ever. And then an amazing eternity. Guys, this life is short. Let's live it for God. Have you done what God says to be saved? The steps are important because Jesus said them. They're his word, and it's the truth that makes you free. If you have, are you living for him? It's that living that gives a good life and a great eternity. If anybody that needs here this morning that needs to respond to the invitation, please do it now while we stand and sing.